Chapter 12. I Got Some Satisfaction. In the past, I've claimed the major bugaboos of old age are 1, aches and pains, and 2, loneliness. And as I've already covered aches and pains, I'll concentrate on loneliness now. Sartre said, "Hell is other people." He must have been a real pain in the you-know-where to all his friends, as current studies show that happiness is other people. And I might add, other people our own age, as we shouldn't bother the younger generation, although it's awfully tempting. Face it, we're a stick in the mud to the young. Why I say that is because for the first few years after I moved into my house about 30 years ago, my elderly next-door neighbor, now gone, would be over at my place every day and talk, wearing me out with her repetitious and tiresome conversations. "Yes, darling," I'd say, "you've already told me about the fire you had in the kitchen," which wouldn't deter her from her story, but would only increase the volume as she finished her yarn. It took all my patience to be agreeable. I should get some humanitarian award for that, as it was so difficult. So I have a lot of apprehensions about laying the same trip on the young today. The message here, my friends, is we should stay with our own age cohorts. They'll put up with us. I suppose other people, like Sartre said, might be hell, especially if we haven't yet learned how to get along with others. But by the time we've reached 60, most of us have aced that one out. Some haven't. They're the ones, mostly guys, with low emotional IQs. Poor fellows. But most of the rest of us have mastered the lessons of life, which includes being kind, understanding, and vulnerable to others. Crotchetiness like AIDS should be avoided at all costs. When I was young and filled with arrogance of youth, I'd tell people loneliness was impossible, that it was all in our minds, because with millions of people trampling on this earth, we could surely find 5 or 10 people, approximately our own age, who were on the same team we were and would love to be our friends. We just had to get out and look. So in my know-it-all youth, along with my kids, I found plenty of friends and settled back. Life was a bowl of cherries. It never occurred to me that someday my little kids, those twits in drooping underpants, would be in control of my life, and that when they'd ring me up and I'd hear their voices on my answering machine, I'd run for the telephone and be grateful for any attention. Yeah, I'll admit it. I'm deeply grateful for any notice from them. But I'm also careful not to impinge on their lives. So until we grow older, we're mostly happy with our circle of friends and don't seek out any more friends, as friendships take time to cultivate. So we want to keep the old ones, as these old friends have seen us through our ups and downs and have held on through it all. After a friend's been around for several years, we feel safe enough to tell them about what a low-rent piece of swill we might have been in, say, our 20s, and how ashamed we now are in regards to all our stupid mistakes. It's good to get this off our guilt-ridden chests. And our friends, who know us equally well, reply they weren't all that delicious youngsters themselves. What a relief to know we weren't the only ones that had messed up lives. But then gradually, one by one, as the years went by, these old friends began to disappear. They died, moved, became invalids, got Alzheimer's, or merely drifted away into alcoholism, pill addiction, or gambling. Speaking of gambling has become a big thing amongst us golden oldies. Guess the dream of becoming rich goes with us to the grave. So while gambling's popular with us old ones, gambling is a baddie. I've had people tell me about staying at the slot machines with wet pants. That's how gambling obsessions can take over and control us. I end up having my best friend of 30 years lose her house, her car, her fantastic job, all her money, and have to file for bankruptcy. Then ended up sleeping on the streets, all thanks to those cards and slot machines. And as she stole big wads of money from me, she made our friendship very loosey-goosey. Anyhow, the only solution to this loss of friends and the deprivation of their laughter and understanding is to start over with new friends. As for looking up old friends from childhood, I for one don't know where they are, and I'm too dumb with a computer to find them. Plus, they probably wouldn't remember me anyway. But then I have to add, it is hard to start over with someone new in old age. Both parties are uneasy and walking on eggshells. It's like this loneliness business we're trying to erase has handicapped us. Elderly friends, less fixated than my gambling friends, take up music, art, fishing, yoga, yard work, car repair, travel, focus on good health, and a dozen other hobbies. I used to cook, but I was the only person eating my cooking, and with even half a recipe, I was eating too much and bulking up. So that had to go. I do read, write, and watch TV. Occasionally, I take a walk and visit an agoraphobic friend who's a strong Republican addicted to alcohol and soaps, and I think may resent my visits when she's sewing or repairing something in her closet. Others have their animals. I often hear, I can always talk to my pet. My cat will never reject me. And as for dogs, they have the much-deserved reputation for being man's best friend. And we can really develop a love affair with our dogs. Or as Marilyn Monroe said, men use me, women judge me, but my dog loves me. And if you want to know the ultimate kick in the teeth for old age loneliness, it's going out in the evening. You go to dances and find 10 women for every man. So learning not to be lonely in old age is no small monkey shine business. Men may have an easier time of it than women, but then again, maybe not. If they do, even if they do get the ladies at the dances. Some claim it's easier for men to be a lone wolf because they've been trained to the romanticism of being a loner in the Jeremiah Johnson movie tradition. But on the other hand, women have been trained to break bread with the rank and file, although they have zero interests in common with them. They'll swallow their disagreements. Men, by contrast, can't let silly religious or political things go by. They have to argue. Psychologists say love and work are the ingredients for life satisfaction. I have neither, and believe it or not, I'm satisfied. But some do miss their work. In our individualistic culture, where we each make our own way, unless we have a job or work of some kind, we often feel we're out there rumbling around to nowhere. We like work because we have co-workers we can relate to, and especially if we liked our work, as it was the kind of work that was varied and not checked by others. But those days are no more for us retirees. So again, why am I satisfied with my life without love or work? Well, the major reason I would hazard is because science claims all of life is comparison. And I do believe that is the case. Hence, comparing my present life with my past life, well, today, by comparison, my life is a blast. And I'm also somewhat of a loner as I try to look on the bright side of loneliness. So here's to loneliness. Think of all we can gain as a loner. We can eat what we want, watch the TV we want without being told, "Why are you watching that junk?" We can leave the house without telling someone where we're going and when we'll be back. And we don't have to worry about getting back on time or hearing about our lateness and selfishness for the next hour. We can keep the house and yard as messy or as neat as we like. Also keep the house cooler or hotter than if we had a mate or companion. We can go naked around the house, shades closed of course, without arousing any comments like, "Getting a little thick around the middle there, aren't we?" And our bathrooms are ours alone. And the really tour de force of living alone is there are no arguments about money. If we're a guy, we can look at girly magazines or internet stuff without any spousal head shaking. Or if we're a woman, we can buy that expensive, useless outfit we'd only wear occasionally with nary a disgusted comment about the waste of money. And most conversations with non-lifetime hookups are fun. Last week, I referred to a crony as a senior citizen, and he jokingly, or maybe not so jokingly, corrected me about the citizen part, as at the moment in our political can of worms, he said he's not that proud of the citizen part. And so we continued putting heat on the government as if our talk had any influence. It was interesting he didn't protest the senior part. It's so good living alone instead of talk about delay in retirement. Maybe they should put retirement ahead about 10 years. And I hate to tell you this, but friendships are work, emotional work. But also to put a damper on that, we have to keep in mind, work has a payoff. As the greatest generation, we've all sweetly done our share for the country. And furthermore, the country's problems aren't mine or yours, but they're the lobbyists' problems. So, and I repeat, friends take work, sensitivity work, but work does have its payoff. And if that isn't in the cards, well, just think of all the free time you'll have to do all the things you've always wanted to do. So get busy. Because if you mollycoddle loafing, it leads to more loafing, and inactivity leads to lifelessness. So live, because it's nice to have you around, and you'll like being around too. And life can be fun, even if you have to pay the bills all by yourself.